Hello and welcome to the Arizona Capital Times on SunSounds. My name is John Coe. I am in Flagstaff, and I will be your volunteer reader for today, reading articles that were published in the Arizona Capital Times on or about April 11th, 2025. Headline: Bill to define biological sexes in law passes Senate. Written by Jamar Younger and published in the Arizona Capital Times on April 8th, 2025. A bill that would provide statutory definitions for terms such as boy, father, female, girl, and male passed the Senate Tuesday, despite strong opposition from Democrats. House Bill 2062, dubbed the Arizona Sex-Based Terms Act, also aims to protect single-sex spaces, such as bathrooms, locker rooms, domestic violence shelters, and sexual assault crisis centers. In addition, the bill requires any publicly collected data from the state and its political subdivisions, including school districts, to identify people as male or female. The bill will now go to Governor Katie Hobbs' desk, where it is unlikely to be signed into law. Hobbs vetoed a similar measure last year and wrote in her veto letter that she would not sign legislation that attacks Arizonans. Advocacy group Independent Women's Voice still released a letter Tuesday imploring Hobbs to sign the bill. The group said in the letter that similar legislation has received support from Democrats and Republicans across the country. Quote, Americans and Arizonans agree that Arizona has an important governmental interest in preventing sex discrimination, but we cannot fight sex discrimination if we cannot define sex, the letter reads. The group said the bill's passage offers Hobbs a second chance to rectify last year's veto. Quote, and heading into her reelection, it's certainly in her best interest to do so, given the mass losses Democrats faced last election after refusing to stand for objective truth and biology, despite near-unanimous support among all Americans that there are only two sexes, said Christy Narcy, the Arizona chair and national chapter director of Independent Women's Network, in a statement. Democrats and LGBTQ activists have said the bill would result in harassment and the erasure of transgender, non-binary, and intersex individuals. Quote, this bill legally erases trans people from existence, said Senator Lauren Kuby, a Democrat from Tempe, during the Senate third read hearing on Tuesday. And in doing so, it jeopardizes the safety of people who are trans, intersex, and non-binary, while rescinding the basic rights of women by codifying into our laws a narrow and outdated definition of sex and gender. Senator Priya Sundarrajan, a Democrat from Tucson, read a note from a Tucson psychologist who expressed concerns that the bill could negatively impact the mental health of transgender, intersex, and non-binary youth. Quote, restricting the definition of gender and sex to so-called biological terms does a disservice to all youth and adults, but it impacts youth in the sense that a lack of validation leads directly to mental health issues and conditions, Sundarrajan read. Senator Sally Ann Gonzalez, a Democrat from Tucson, said she's fielded questions from some LGBTQ constituents and their family members who fear for their safety and has asked why the government is looking to bully them. Quote, as an elder queer person, I could offer that we have always existed, will always exist, whether our own government recognizes us or not, she said. Despite the opposition, Representative Lisa Fink, a Republican from Glendale, the bill's sponsor, previously said the proposal wouldn't endanger the rights of LGBTQ individuals. Quote, this bill was carefully crafted to ensure that it does not create any special rights for women, nor does it take away any rights from anybody else, Fink said at a March 5th Senate Government Committee hearing. Quote, it simply establishes the foundation for policy discussions about complex issues related to men and women. Headline: Kennedy Jr. celebrates Arizona's push to ban processed foods and sodas. written by Kira Riley and published in the Arizona Capital Times on April 8, 2025. U.S. Secretary of Health Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. visited with Arizona lawmakers today to celebrate the legislature's passage of two bills in line with his Make America Healthy Again mantra. The legislature sent both a bipartisan bill to cut ultra-processed foods from school lunches and a proposal with exclusively Republican support to exclude sodas from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, to the governor on Tuesday. Whether Governor Katie Hobbs signs the two pieces of legislation into law is another question. The school lunch bill received unanimous support, but passed without a proposed appropriation from the executive budget to cover additional costs for students in the free and reduced price lunch program. Democrats thoroughly opposed the SNAP soda waiver through the Senate's final vote. Still, Representative Leo Biasucci, a Republican from Lake Havasu City, sponsors of the bills, Senate Majority Leader Janae Shamp, a Republican from Surprise, and Kennedy, heralded the two bills as a first step in a wider charge to push processed and sugary foods out of public schools and public benefit programs. Quote, "It's happening at the grassroots. People are saying we are not going to take it anymore. We are not going to be mass poisoned," Kennedy said. House Bill 2164 bans schools from serving, selling, or allowing a third party to sell ultra-processed foods on campus with a list of restricted ingredients, including artificial dyes and food additives and preservatives, to be written into state law. Schools would be required to confirm compliance with the Arizona Department of Education and have a list posted on the department's website thereafter. If signed into law, HB 2164 would take effect in the 2026-2027 school year. Melissa Harvey, public policy and legislative chair of the School Nutrition Association of Arizona and food and nutrition services supervisor at Madison Elementary School District, said most schools are compliant or close to compliance as it stands now. She said schools participating in the National School Lunch Program already adhere to standards set by the United States Department of Agriculture, including requirements on the amount of food, types of food, calories, sodium, saturated fat, and added sugars. They also undergo regular audits by the Arizona Department of Education to ensure that they meet these standards. She said items likely to be impacted by the bill are condiments and certain snacks. Quote, "Because we already follow such stringent meal pattern requirements, most schools are already pretty much in compliance and will have no problem meeting these requirements," Harvey said. Democrats supported the legislation all along its path through the legislature, but in a vote explanation, Senator Annalise Ortiz, a Democrat from Phoenix, said the proposal should be part of a larger conversation about ensuring that schools have enough funding to provide nutritious meals. Notably missing from the bill passed on Tuesday is a $3.8 million appropriation to cover the copay for students qualifying for reduced-priced lunch. That proposal came from another measure, House Bill 2213, introduced by Representative Nancy Gutierrez, a Democrat from Tucson, which took a page from the governor's executive budget and would have allocated money to completely comp meals for a wider swath of students. The proposal saw little opposition as it moved through the House Education and Appropriation Committees and the Committee of the Whole, but failed to make it for a final vote. Quote, "I would think if you want to make America healthy, you would know that you have to feed students first," Gutierrez said. "So it's very frustrating that they want to proclaim that they really care about what students eat, but they do not care if students eat." The $3.8 million appropriation mimics a proposal in the executive budget to cover the copay for students qualifying for free or reduced-price lunch, raising a question on whether the governor will sign the legislation. A spokesman for the governor did not immediately respond to an inquiry about whether she planned to sign H. Bill 2164 as it is, or whether she planned to push again for the lost appropriation piece in budget negotiations. The second MAHA-aligned bill passed solely with Republican support. House Bill 2165, sponsored by Biasucci, would ban soda from the National Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program by way of a requested waiver from the United States Department of Agriculture. Democrats have stayed steadfast in their opposition, with a continued argument against micromanaging what SNAP recipients could or could not buy. Quote, "I think it's quite interesting how this argument has devolved into a soda for me, but not for thee argument. And this is a slippery slope that is going to just cause people who are already struggling to be micromanaged by the government," Ortiz said. Though the legislation is starting with soda, attempts to take out other categories of processed food could come down the line. Biasucci's original bill sought to ban candy, too, but he said defining candy in law proved more difficult than expected. Quote, "A lot of times you have to sacrifice your language. You have to make edits, make amendments to get it across the finish line," Biasucci said. "I wanted to get the bill across the finish line because sometimes you need to have that impact. You need to make that change happen before the conversation continues in the future." Kennedy agreed that they had to start somewhere. Quote, "Believe me, I would like to solve the entire processed food problem, but we're not going to do that overnight. We're going to do that in the next 4 years," Kennedy said. The soda ban passed along party lines. Both bills were transmitted to the governor on Tuesday. You're listening to the Arizona Capital Times on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing information access since 1979, and you can always listen to our live stream at sunsounds.org. Headline: Tough immigration bill requires local officials to support federal efforts. Written by Jamar Younger and published in the Arizona Capital Times on April 11, 2025. The Senate approved a bill on April 9th, which would mandate the governor, attorney general, cities and towns to support the enforcement of federal immigration laws. House Bill 2099 is one of a series of measures introduced this session, which calls for state officials, municipalities, and law enforcement agencies to support the federal government's deportation efforts. State Republicans have proposed the legislation in response to President Donald Trump's deportation initiatives and the passage last fall of Proposition 314, which makes entering the country anywhere other than a port of entry a crime. HB 2099, which was approved along party lines with Republican support, would be repealed on January 20, 2029. The bill's passage occurred a day after the Trump administration's border czar, Tom Homan, spoke to state lawmakers during a joint session where he reiterated the administration's promise to mass deport immigrants with criminal records who are living in this country illegally. The bill, along with Republican lawmakers' other efforts to support the federal government's immigration mandates, has drawn staunch opposition from Democrats and activists who remain concerned about racial profiling and the lack of due process for people who have already been deported. During the April 9th Senate hearing, all 13 Democratic senators spoke in opposition to the bill, sharing stories of immigrants who either had no criminal records or who have been granted permission to stay in the country but were still deported, as well as college students who were taken into custody and had their student visas revoked. Senator Catherine Miranda, a Democrat from Levine, told the story of Marlon Paris, a United States Army combat veteran who was detained by United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement on January 22nd, days after Trump took office. Paris had previously served time for a nonviolent drug offense but was assured by federal officials that he would not be deported. Quote, HB 2099 takes a divisive, state-centric approach that could undermine efforts for a more holistic and humane immigration system, Miranda said. Senator Teresa Hatathaly, a Democrat from Coal Mine Canyon, shared the story of Tufts University doctorate student Rumesa Ozturk, who was taken into custody by immigration officials last month while walking through a Boston suburb. According to media reports, Ozturk had publicly expressed support for Palestinians. Quote, this speaks to the fact that, for these individuals, they have no history of any type of legal misconduct. However, they are not being provided due process, Hatathali said. Due process is something that we continue to talk about, and in the fairness of law, due process should be provided. Senator Brian Fernandez, a Democrat from Yuma, spoke of Canadian actress Jasmine Mooney, who was detained by United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials for 2 weeks and spent time in a facility located in his district. Quote, I represent most of the southern border with Mexico, probably well over 60%, and our local law enforcement have worked for decades to build trust within the communities, Fernandez said. In fact, we've tried to hire micro-locally to ensure that people feel close to the place and don't feel an adversarial relationship, and this bill will destroy that in one moment. Other Democrats shared stories of families that were split up and immigrants who were profiled because they sported certain tattoos. Republicans countered with the story of Lake and Riley, a 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia who was killed when she went on a run in February 2024. Jose Ibarra, a Venezuelan man who entered this country illegally, was convicted of her murder and sentenced to life in prison without parole. Senator Janae Champ, a Republican from Surprise, said, quote, while I understand that there are plights that frustrate people, and I feel for them, we cannot turn this conversation around and not discuss the fact that we were asking for people to follow the laws of the United States of America. The reason we are the land of opportunity is because we are a land of law. Headline. More than 300 Stryker amendments proposed during legislative session. Written by Jamar Younger and published in the Arizona Capital Times on April 12, 2025. State lawmakers have introduced more than 300 Stryker amendments this summer as they look to revive stalled bills, drop new legislation after deadline, and correct proposals up for debate. A Stryker amendment deletes the text of a previous bill and replaces it with new language, transforming the measure into entirely new legislation. Lawmakers have used the Strykers this session to bypass committees that decide not to hear a bill, introduce copycat legislation after one of their bills stalls in a chamber, and drop new proposals after it becomes apparent that the original version of a bill couldn't advance through the legislature. Here are five of the most prominent Stryker amendments that have been introduced this session. Senate Bill 1424. Before. Shauna Bollock, a Republican of Phoenix, introduced the original bill, which would have allowed beer and wine stores or liquor stores to use, quote, any reasonable means for maintaining records and reports. Now, the Stryker amendment to the bill would now establish criminal offenses for people who impersonate an armed forces veteran, quote, with the intent to obtain money, property, or any tangible benefit, according to the bill's language. Representative Walt Blackman, a Republican from Snowflake, introduced the original bill, House 2030, but the bill was held in the Senate Judiciary and Elections Committee after the committee chair, Senator Wendy Rogers, a Republican from Phoenix, said Blackman refused to work with her staff to amend the bill. The bill highlighted a conflict between Blackman and Rogers, who supported Steve Slayton, Blackman's opponent last year, in the Legislative District 7 GOP primary. Status? Senate Bill 1424 is headed back to the Senate after the measure passed the House on April 9th. Senate Bill 1543, before. Senate Bill 1543 was introduced by Senator Frank Carroll, a Republican from Sun City West, to offer more protection to homeowners who have had to file for bankruptcy if their home's equity increases during the pendency of their bankruptcy case. Now, Representative Tony Rivero, a Republican from Peoria, introduced the Stryker Amendment to the bill, which would clear the path for Axon to build a new global headquarters in North Scottsdale and bypass a ballot initiative calling for voters to approve zoning for the project. The bill would require cities with populations between 200,000 and 500,000 to allow hotels and multifamily residential housing to be built in areas zoned for light industrial use without needing an application that would require a public hearing. The bill has spurned a contentious debate between opponents who criticize the company and the bill's sponsors for circumventing the will of the voters and Axon officials who say the company will leave the state if they can't build their headquarters here. Status: the bill was scheduled for a third read hearing in the House on April 10th. Senate Bill 1658, before. Senate Bill 1658 was originally introduced as a measure that would have allowed an alternative pathway for certification as a veterinary technician. The bill would have allowed a prospective veterinary technician to substitute education requirements for on-the-job training with an established nonprofit organization or licensed veterinarian. Now, the new version of the bill aims to clarify what constitutes inhumane conditions for domestic animals, redefines what it means to provide the appropriate food, water, and shelter, and adds a misdemeanor charge for failing to provide an animal with medical attention to prevent unnecessary suffering. This measure replaced Senate Bill 1234, which passed the Senate with bipartisan support, but stalled after it reached the House and was assigned to two committees. Senator Shauna Bolick, a Republican from Phoenix, introduced Senate Bill 1234 and the original version of the Senate Bill 1658. Status: Senate Bill 1658 passed the House Government Committee on March 26th and is awaiting the House Rules Committee. House Bill 2300. Before, the original version of House Bill 2300, introduced by Representative Leo Biasucci, a Republican from Lake Havasu City, would have required any state agency, municipality, or other entity to report the location of electric vehicle charging stations for public use on its property and the number of parking spots that have been allocated for electric vehicle charging. Now, the Stryker Amendment for House Bill 2300 expands the list of approved fuel blends available for use in Maricopa County in an effort to lower gas prices. Current law requires drivers in Maricopa County and portions of Pinal County to use different gasoline blends for the cooler and warmer months of the year. The bill received a boost after the United States Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin rescinded EPA guidance that Republicans say made it burdensome for Arizona to prove that air pollution within the state came from outside the country. Senator T.J. Schaap, a Republican from Coolidge, introduced the Stryker Amendment. Status: the bill passed the Senate along party lines with Republican support on April 9th, and it will now head back to the House for final approval. House Bill 2872. Before, House Bill 2872 would have created the Arizona Office of Defense Innovation. Representative Justin Wilmeth, a Republican from Phoenix, introduced the bill to help drive innovation for defense technologies and leverage assets which attract federal and private defense industries to the state. Now, Senator Jake Hoffman, a Republican from Queen Creek, proposed a Stryker amendment to require director nominees who served under a previous governor's administration to be renominated by the current governor and confirmed by the Senate. The amendment would also require the president and CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority to be nominated by the governor and appear before the Senate. Hoffman, chairman of the Senate Committee on Director Nominations, has criticized a number of Hobbs nominees who were seeking confirmation from the Senate. He has also previously said the Arizona Commerce Authority should be accountable to the governor and the Senate since the agency plays a huge role in the state's economic development. Status: the bill passed the Senate Government Committee on March 26th and is awaiting a hearing in the Senate Rules Committee. Headline: House-approved Axon bill sparks heated debate. Written by Bob Christie for the Arizona Capital Times and published on April 10th, 2025. The Arizona House on Thursday passed a contentious bill that will allow Axon, a manufacturer of Taser stun guns, to build a massive apartment complex in Scottsdale, despite opposition from that city. Senate Bill 1543, approved on a 40-19 vote, would override the project's opponents' efforts to give Scottsdale voters the last word. Those opponents had gathered 26,000 signatures on referendum petitions and put the development on hold until November 2026. Supporters acknowledged the bill voids the referendum, but they worried that delaying the project could block the development. The measure split Republicans who represent Scottsdale from other members of the majority party at the Capitol. Aside from overriding the referendum, they say that legislative intervention could set a precedent that leads state lawmakers to override similar fights in other cities around the state. At the heart of the fight is the economic footprint for Axon in Scottsdale. Supporters, including many Democrats, contend that Axon could leave Arizona if it isn't allowed to proceed with this project, as its CEO has suggested. The company initially said it bought state trust land just for a new headquarters building before morphing that into a project which now includes new headquarters, a hotel, and nearly 2,000 apartment units. The measure, heavily lobbied by Axon and its CEO, Rick Smith, now moves to the Senate for a vote which could send it to Governor Katie Hobbs for consideration. Axon has been in Scottsdale for 2 decades and is one of Arizona's most valuable companies. It has a market cap of nearly $43 billion. In addition to stun guns widely used by police, it also makes body cameras for police departments and makes money from storing those videos. The company got the okay to go ahead with the project from the Scottsdale City Council late last year, but a new council majority now opposes it. A coalition of opponents collected through enough signatures to block final approval until a vote on the project in November 2026. Axon isn't willing to wait that long and went to state lawmakers for a remedy. Representative Alexander Colodin, a Republican from Scottsdale, said the bill sets a dangerous precedent by thwarting the will of local citizens in a city who organized to get the referendum on the ballot. Quote, "What's important here is the precedent that we set," Colodin said. "Make no mistake about what we are being asked to do here today. We are being asked to cancel an election by the people of Scottsdale that was called by the voters of Scottsdale." Representative Joseph Chaplick, also a Republican from Scottsdale, led the charge against the bill in the House during a contentious debate on Wednesday and again during Thursday's vote. Quote, "They're taking the will of the voters away if this bill passes, as is," Chaplick said during the debate. Quote, "So everybody that talks about elections and elections and elections are willing to vote on a bill like this that removes the will of the voters in Scottsdale to have their voice heard," he said. "It's appalling to me." You've been listening to the Arizona Capital Times, a production of Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Once again, my name is John Coe. Thank you for listening.